Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Ask a PI Talk Radio with hosts David Duchesneau, author, PI, former Marine, and former New Hampshire State Trooper, and Rusty McDonald, PI, author, motivational speaker, and international radio talk show host.
Welcome to 2015 Ask a PI. Would you hire you? Nice topic. And David's going to give us 10 image boosting techniques all PIs can use. But first and foremost, I want to welcome everybody to 2015. We are a new show, and I'm really super excited to see what's going to happen this year in regards to Ask a PI. I know that my Living and Thriving show is crazy busy, and it's actually 2 years old this week. So this week, for David and I, who is my mentor, my friend, and someone who I just admire so, we're 7 months into Ask a PI. What do you say, David? Is it about 7 months now?
Yeah, it's about 7 months, and welcome everybody to Ask a PI, and it's great to have you here with us.
I'm really excited about the show. We've never actually done the show before. We hire you from 10 Image Boosting Techniques. So talk to us about it, and let's get going.
Yeah, I think that tonight's show is it's kind of unique. I can still hear the music in the background. I get off on that music. Anyway, that's our theme song. And again, like you said, you know, Happy New Year to everybody. 2015, can you believe that? Unbelievable. You know, the industry, we've been talking about this, okay, like you said, for 7 months, and the industry of private investigative work is ever-changing. And, you know, as we said many times, this business of private investigations, you know, it attracts people from all backgrounds, all walks of life and professions. And there isn't a week that goes by that somebody doesn't say, you know, how can I get into this business? And it's amazing that some of the people who ask that question, I mean, it really is. I mean, we got people that want to come into this business. We got people in this business that came from, they were claims adjusters, obviously police officers like myself. Bankers, bill collectors, librarians, it doesn't make any difference. It's all walks of life. They come in here and they want to be a private investigator. And, you know, when I get asked that question, because I have to refer them to the New Hampshire statute that governs the private investigative industry in New Hampshire. And, you know, and I tell them it's not as easy as they think it is. You can't just put up a shingle somewhere and say you're a private investigator. Just because you watch some private investigative show on TV, it doesn't work that way. But many folks, you know, they try it. They get into it. They get a bond, you know, and once you have a bond, you know, they get the license and they try to go out there and be a private investigator. And, you know, if the truth be known, I mean, a lot of them couldn't find their way out of a paper bag because they don't know exactly what they're doing. I mean, obviously,
what are the steps that needs to be taken? And, you know, I know that I keep pulling you back to the basics 101, but you know, we have new people that listen to the show every week. So what does it take to actually be a private investigator? How do you get your credentials? What does it take to gain customers, and then why would I hire myself? How would I know that I could hire myself?
Well, the first thing, if you want to hire yourself, the first thing is that to become a private investigator in this state, you have to have at least a criminal justice background. You know, that's something that you want to have. You also have you can't have any convictions, any felonies. Convictions, you got to be pretty clean, and you can't have any domestic violence petitions and or any of those kind of domestic issues pending or ever against you, because if you do, you will never get a license, because the state is very adamant about that, and it's because of a ruling that we talked about once before about the private investigator that went out and worked for his friend who had a petition against him. And that really stirred up a big controversy all over the country because of that. And anyway, the best way that I would suggest that anybody who wants to be working in this profession, that they contact an agency, and you want to work with that agency and learn as much as you can from the people that work within the agency. And you want to have somebody, the agency, you want to get into an agency that has a long standing and a good reputation in this profession. And if you work with them, if you have a I do get tied up once in a while because you take me back, and when that happens, I have to regroup. A criminal diploma in criminal justice, thank you. You can work with an agency for 2 years, and after 2 years, you can apply to have your own license. If you don't have that, if you were a police officer for at least 2 years or more, you can also apply for a license, and you cannot be a police officer anymore. You can't have any affiliation at all with any police department to be a private investigator in this state, but you can get a PI license. And you can work with an agency, and then you can grab your own license. It's everybody else has to work a minimum of 4 years as an apprentice with an agency before they can have their own license. But that's pretty much the preliminaries of what it takes to be a private investigator in the state of New Hampshire. And, of course, many states don't even have those in place, those parameters at all. Some states you can just walk in, and whoever the jurisdiction is that's governing the private investigative industry in that state, you can go in and fill out the paperwork, and you can walk out with a private investigator's license, which, like I said, I wouldn't recommend to anybody. You can go online if you like, and you can. They do advertise several places where you can get training online, and some of it's going to be good, and some of it's not going to be good. It's a catch-22 situation. It really is. My suggestion is working with a firm that is reputable and that has been around a while and they know exactly what they're doing. Shadowing, doing anything you can to learn the business, because there is a lot to learn. And you just can't go out there and think that you're going to, you know, grab your big case and you're going to go ahead and go out and interview and do surveillance and do all kinds of things, because there's knacks. there's a real knack to surveillance, and most people don't know how to do surveillance. I even had several police officers that worked for me that had no clue how to do surveillance because it isn't the same. It isn't the same at all. And when I used to tell most of my younger apprentices that have come to us, I used to tell them to go out and just drive around and pick a car and follow that car as long as you can without being spotted. And that's how you're going to get used to following a prospective target, if you wish. And that really works. And all it is, it's getting accustomed to doing something. It's like any other job, except you really got to be diligent and you got to pay attention to what you're doing, because you definitely don't want to scare anybody. You don't want to stalk anybody. We talked about all these things. You don't want to be out there putting fear into the public. And so, like I said, you need the proper training. And I've got a lot of years doing this stuff. I mean, I'm working on 44 years of doing this kind of work between my state police time and the private sector. And I've learned a lot in 44 years. And I think the day I stop learning is the day I'm going to quit. It's going to be time to retire, because you learn something new every day. But let's get right into this, what we got here for tonight's show. And would I hire me? Yeah, I'd hire my firm in a heartbeat, because I pay attention to all the details that need to be paid attention to. And I treat my clients with respect, and I treat all the clients, the way that I would want to be treated if I was going out and hiring a firm to do something for me. And I think that's something you want to keep right up in the forefront of your mind. If you're going to do a job for somebody, do the job like you would do it for yourself. And that way you can assure that client, that individual, that you're going to do the best that you can do for them. And again, as we said many times before, if you can't do it, don't be afraid to say, hey, I don't do that, I can't do that. I'd never give anybody the answer, I don't know. I give them the answer that I haven't got an answer to your question, but I'm going to get the answer for you. Or if I can't do that job, I'm going to tell them I'm not trained to do that job, but I will get somebody who is trained, and that will make sure that particular job gets done for you. But let's look at some ways of improving, especially in as we start out the new year, in improving our service and how, you know, we keep this business of private investigating professional, because that's what we want to do. Making sure that you're a professional is a day-to-day job. It really is. And it's because of the persona that people have about private investigators. You know, everybody thinks a private investigator, all they do is snoop around and, you know, work domestic cases, watch, somebody's wife, watch somebody's husband. But that's not the case at all, because I don't do any of that stuff. And we do a lot of, you know, high-tech stuff. We get involved in a lot of different aspects of the investigative work that a lot of people wish they could do. And, again, like I said, it's because we have the training. And I've got people with various backgrounds. I got some guys that are just fantastic. Some guys and some gals that are just fantastic at what they do. And I keep them within their niche. I utilize them for what they're trained for. And that's very important. And we'll talk about that at the end here when we talk about subcontractors, because we are going to talk about subcontractors at the end of this. But You know, the first thing that I want to say is, you know, we're not James Bond. So, you know, let's not act like James Bond because we're not. You know, what your email address says about you is a lot. You know, and
David, I have to say it's Jason Statham. James Bond is passé now. So my generation, it's Jason Statham.
Well, you can say whatever you want, but most people know who James Bond is when I say it, 007, you know, and they're still making the movies, so what the heck. But, you know, your email address says a lot about you, you know, and you want to make sure that you use an email address that doesn't degrade you. And I mean, really. A simple thing is an email address can convey to a potential client how professional you really are. And it can also give them, you know, the negative effect of what your email address says about you. You know, some people, like I said before, I had a guy, a very good friend of mine, who worked for Massachusetts State Police. And when he was doing his agency, he doesn't do it anymore. He sold it and he's retired. But when he started out, you know, some 24 years ago, his logo was I Spy for You. Well, obviously, I Spy was a show that was back in the 70s, and he had that on everything. But you don't do that today. I mean, just like our agency, you know, like my email is david@mycompany.com. You know, it's david@standard.com. My company is standard.com. You know, and we own that domain name. And so we can utilize it as much as we wish. And if you don't own your domain name, there's something wrong. You've got to, you know, you're not a professional yet. You better work on that. And that's one way that in 2015, that if you're a private investigator and you're listening, you know, own your domain name and get a real one. The same thing with your email address. Get a real email. You know, you don't need this Hotmail, Gmail, you know. Those things basically are free to get, you know, and they're .coms, you know. They're not, you know, We Watch Your Old Lady or Super Spy or anything like that, which is very, you know, amateurish. Yeah, thank you, whatever that word is, huh? It makes you look like you're setting up in your underwear on your laptop computer, and you know, and who knows what you're doing. You got to act professional. You got to look professional, and you've got to use everything in your power to make your agency or your firm professional. And getting a good email address is the way you can do that. You know, and it's the same thing as, you know, sending out text messages and putting smiley faces, you know, on your text messages. You don't do that. That's not professional. You don't want to get involved in that. And if you are doing it, break the habit. And the same thing with using abbreviations in a message to your clients. You don't want to do that either. You want to spell it out. You know, we're professional people. You know, we're grown-ups. You don't need to be doing that. The same thing is when you do send something out to a client, whether you have an iPhone or an iPad or you do anything like that, and at the end of your message it says sent from my iPhone or your iPad, that's not a professional image. You want to use a professional email signature. And it amazes me how many investigators don't even use a signature line when they send out an email to their clients, or if they send out an email to any of, you know, their other associates. You know, they just sign their name. you should have your, at least you should have with your name, your company name, your mailing address. Some states require your license number. New Hampshire does not. And you want to have your contact information. That should be your signature line. If anybody looks at my signature line, you know, it. I have a lot of information. I have quite a few lines on my signature. And that information is everything about me. It says a lot. And that's what I want people to see. And the biggest thing it says is how you can contact me. And it even gives my, you know, my not only my email address, but it gives the company website, which to me is that's professionalism. And it's also a way of advertisement that's free because it's out there. And I want to do that all the time, and I do that all the time. I mean, Rusty, how many emails do you get from me, and you see the same signature line all the time, and that's important. But you'd be surprised how many people are in this business, and they don't do that, and they haven't done that, and it just baffles me why they wouldn't do it. One of the biggest frustrations that I have is answer your phone. To me, there's nothing more frustrating than calling up a fellow private investigator and I get a recorded message. You know, I don't think that a recorded message is very professional. If you have to do it, I mean, yeah, maybe there might be times when you have to do it, but you want to make sure that message indicates that you're going to call back as soon as you can, because you can lose a client very easily. Because I found out in this business, especially other investigators from around the country will call you with an assignment. They get a recorded message. They don't even leave a message at all. They just go on to somebody else in the state because they need to talk to somebody, and that if you don't answer your phone, you got a recording on there, you could be losing a lot of business. So if you have to have a recording or if you have to have that, try something new. And this works. I mean, I've done it in the past, and that is have your office phone, have the calls forwarded to your cell phone. All you got to do is contact your service provider. And that can be done. And that's professional. And you're not making somebody wait for you to pick up a phone or answer a phone, which to me is very important. You know, and that can boost your business. And you have no idea because you don't know if you're getting a call from a potential client and because you didn't answer that phone, you just lost that client. And if you lose that client, you just lost money. So, you know, if you want to boost, you know, your private investigative business, answer the phone and stop the frustration, believe me. Another thing is associate with associations. You know, now, there are all kinds of associations. If you don't at least belong to your state association, investigative association, there's something drastically wrong with you. You know, these people that run these associations, this is not a personality contest. Nobody cares who likes who. And we all have these egos, you know, because we all have backgrounds. And most of us, a lot of us, have these police backgrounds. And believe me, some of the police have the biggest egos going. I should know. Get over yourself. Hello?
Hi. I was never going to point that out.
Yeah, okay.
We have just before commercial break. I'm just warning you.
I know what's coming. I'm watching the clock.
All right, there.
We have, like I said, a lot of diversity from a lot of different backgrounds, and a lot of people, you know, they're a legend in their own mind. Believe me, you got to get over yourself. You're in a business, and you're running a business, so treat it like a business. You know, you call one of these corporations, you're going to get somebody on the phone right away. You're not going to be put on hold, and you're not going to be leaving messages. So, you know, join these associations because they will help you. They'll help you tremendously. And, you know, and when you go to these things, go to these meetings, because they hold meetings. They hold monthly meetings. They hold seminars, which are great because you can get some great information. You know, and it's a great way to increase. It's a great way to increase your professionalism and associate with others in the business, and at least belong to your local or your regional investigative association. And these groups, they're there for you. They really are. You hear how different people are doing different things. It gives you an opportunity to make contacts with those who specialize in services other than what you may service, what you may provide. And you will, in most cases, end up doing business with somebody that you meet at one of these association meetings. I mean, I use a lot, anytime I need people, I call the people that belong to the associations. And I belong to several associations. And I belong to international associations, two of them. In my estimation, they're probably two of the best. They're second to none anywhere in the world. And that's how I can get things done very quickly all around the world. And it's a great tool, and I learned this way back when we first started. Like yourself, you know, you talk about a mentor. I had a mentor from another country who took a liking to me, told me exactly which associations to belong to as far as international, and he did not steer me wrong at all. This man was from the Netherlands, and he was a great investigator. He and his wife were both in the business, and they had over 55 investigators working for them. It wasn't a small outfit, and I learned a lot from this man. I really did. But anyway, if you want to go to a commercial break, I'm there. I guess we're not going to go. All right.
You had something left, David, before we were going to go. But if you want to go, we can go now.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So welcome to Ask a PI Radio. Your host, David Duchesneau, and I am the sub-host, Rusty McDonald. We are looking for sponsors in 2015, and we are offering sponsorship for a minimum of $50 per show this year. This is for the first quarter. It's just to initiate you to 2015. We've had a great response. And here's a shout out from a couple of our sponsors.
January 2015. In Pride and Prejudice, A Relocation Nightmare is based on a mother's true story of her attempts to relocate home to her family after a messy divorce, only to be discriminated against and forced to live without her support. Order your copy today. www.rustymcdonald.com.
In a world where businesses are plagued by overwhelming numbers of difficulties, one support network will rise to protect business owners from devastation. Dreams Woven Support Network. Under the guidance of the experts at Dreams Woven, business owners will be able to stay focused and stay motivated as they work their way toward their dreams. To run a business is to fight in a battle against a fleet of hardships that threatens to bring the business toward failure. To win that battle, one must have the adequate resources and a plan to combat the seemingly endless barrage of hardships. with the power of the Dreams Woven Support Network, obtaining the resources and plan for the battle of business is simple by using the multitude of tips and resources provided by Dreams Woven. One will be able to vanquish any hardships that arise and bring one's business to success. $8.97 is all it takes to acquire the power of Dreams Woven. Sign up today at DreamsWovenSupportNetwork.org to achieve success for your business and to have your dream woven into reality.
Ask a PI is looking for sponsors. Are you ready to become part of a world-renowned show? Do you offer products for private investigators? Are you a law firm? Or are you yourself a PI? Ask a PI Talk Radio is the perfect place to sponsor to hit your target audience. Please go to WMEXradio.com for more information on how to sponsor Ask a PI.
And actually, I have to change that commercial because it's actually www.standa.com to inquire more about sponsorship of our delicious show. So, David, talk to us about why I would hire me. I'm a rookie in this. You're my mentor. And quite frankly, I was asked the other day in a very obtuse fashion why I'm not a multimillionaire at this.
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, that's basically what we're talking about here is, you know, when you talk to people, that's the biggest thing, huh? Be on your best behavior. When you meet a client, you know, you don't have to be, you know, that most clients are strangers. Some clients are going to be your friends. What I'm saying by friends, they're going to know you or they're going to be an associate of yours. And they're going to want to hire you because they know you. So, you know, when you talk to people, like I said, be on your best behavior because you're selling yourself. You're not only selling, you know, your services, but you're selling yourself. And you want to make sure that they're comfortable with you and that they trust you with their problems. You know, people can tell me and have told me all kinds of things about themselves, and they know that I'm not going to run around and talk about what they're telling me. I don't tell anybody what's going on other than the people that work within our agency. I mean, that's obvious. You know, the number one rule for building rapport when I meet people or potential clients is, you know, I want to make sure that they trust me and they can trust me with anything. And if they do, they'll hire you to do that task that they want done. And that's very important. So be honest, you know, be humble, but be on your best behavior at all times because people are watching. And believe me, people do, you know, today they do their due diligence when they want to hire somebody to do something in private investigative work. And, you know, in talking about that, it's you know, they say the clothes makes the man or the woman. And it's true. You know, I once went for an interview figure that one. And it was a potential client that had called up, and it was actually a Broadway theater out of New York. They had a real problem. They knew they had a problem. They wanted to talk to me about that problem. And I wasn't the only one that they talked with or interviewed. And so when I went for that interview to talk to them, I do this all the time anyway. I wore a suit. I always wear a suit when I meet a client for the first time anyway. And a lot of my investigative work that I do, I wear a suit and tie. And I looked like a professional. And I got the job, and I went to New York City, and right on Broadway, and I spent 4 days there. They put us up, and I brought some of my people with us. They put us up at a great place, and we did what we had to do for them. We also worked with a precinct in New York City Police Department on this case. And by doing our job, we were able to not only get the job done for the client, we were also able to get enough evidence by what we did so that the police department was able to make two arrests on for theft of a large amount of money from that Broadway theater. Now, I asked the individual who was on the board of directors for the theater, you know, why did he hire us? And he basically told me, he says, well, you know, we talked to several people, he says, but we had people showing up that we talked to. He says one guy showed up in a pair of shorts, tennis shoes, and a sweatshirt. He says, you showed up in a suit. He says, you look like $1 million. You look like you knew what you were doing. He says, and you showed an air of confidence in you. He says, that's why we hired you. And, you know, that went a long ways. And I can tell you right now, for those 4 days, we made a lot of money for what we did. And I had to have a investigator from New York State with me, because obviously I didn't have a license in New York, but we worked along with this investigator, and actually what he did is worked along with us, and everything came out great, and it was all because of the way I presented myself. So that's very important. If you want to change what you're doing, if you're not getting enough business, you don't think you're getting enough business, you know, look at yourself. You know, make sure that you're portraying an air of confidence in you and dress the part. You know, that's very important. There's a reason why, you know, police officers wear uniforms. Well, there's a reason why business people who are successful look like business people. And it's the same thing in the private investigative profession. If you look like you know what you're doing, you act like you know what you're doing, well, then maybe you know what you're doing. And it's that simple. I mean, and that's very important. You want to instill confidence to your clients. And so, you know, that's another way that you can get more business in 2015, just by utilizing that tip. Keep your clients informed. You know, we said this before in other shows. I always contact my clients. I'm always in contact with them. And when something shakes down, they're the first ones to know it. And, you know, even if it's going badly, I will call them and tell them that it's not going the way we want it to go or the way that they thought it should be going. I mean, you got to be upfront and honest with your clients. And if you are, they can't fault you for that. We can only do what we can do. You know, I've always said that you can't make people do what they don't normally do, and I mean it. You can only do what you can do and no more. We don't make things up, you know. We deal in facts only. And all our reports, you know, they're factual. They're not biased. And, you know, they tell the truth about everything that happened. And that's what you want to do. Don't try to make something up that down the road you're going to have to answer for. and you're not going to have the answers. You don't want to do that. Certifications. You know, there's all kinds of certifications out there. I mean, behind my name, you know, I've got CII and I have CFC. And CII stands for Certified International Investigator, and CFC stands for Certified Fraud Consultant. And I earned those two designations. And, you know, and there's all kinds of them. They've got CPP, which Certified Protection Professional, for people who do protection work. They also have the American Society for Industrial Security, which is ASIS. They have the same certification. And these are great organizations. They really are. I belong to ASIS, and there's some great people in there. I have a lot of great contacts because of it, and I utilize them. But if you can get a certification, a real certification, something that means something, and it's not just something that's mailed to you that you paid for and you didn't work for, it will give you more business. It really will. The other thing is to listen. Listen to your clients. You know, that old adage, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about what their problem is. And that will stand forever. A professional private investigator is, you know, you're part priest, you're part psychologist, you're a social worker at times. Listen to your clients. Allow them to go into detail about their problem. You'll build more rapport with them, and you're going to gain more credibility by listening to them and let them tell you what's going on. You don't have to be talking all the time. You know, I always said you can't learn anything with your mouth open. If you want to learn, you got to listen. And even if you're a new investigator and you're learning, listen to your mentor. You know, listen to the person who's teaching you. Don't think that you have all the answers, because you don't. I've had many, many people that I've trained over the years. And believe me, if they're not listening, I'm the first one to tell them, again, you can't learn anything with your mouth open. And I explained to them, you know, that sometimes it's better to take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth and just listen, because you might learn something. So, yeah, just a word to the wise. You know, your continuing education. Now, there's a big one. We got to keep up with the trends that's going on in the industry. You know, we had a show about the different trends and finding a niche. You know, I've got a niche to do a couple of things. One of them is backgrounds. The other one is accident investigations. And we're going to do a show on accident investigations, because when people hear about accident investigations, they always relate that to automobile accidents. Well, I can guarantee you that I make a lot of money from insurance companies doing all kinds of accident investigations, from, you know, lawnmower accidents, ladders, people falling off ladders, these trip and fall accidents, people running into doors because they're going down an incline, tripping over curbings. I mean, these are all investigations that we've done, and we reconstructed all of these. You know, and most cases have come, you know, we've had a favorable outcome for the insurance company because we paid particular attention to detail, and it's very important to do that. You know, I use something that I learned at a one of these seminars that I went to for continuing education that went back to my police days, and I use what they call a view questionnaire a lot for a lot of my cases. And the view questionnaire, the view stands for Verbal Inquiry Effective Witness. And it's a questionnaire that has a series of open questions which invite the subject to give their own explanation in their own words as to what they either saw or what happened to them. When I was a police officer, we used this type of technique, this questionnaire, in rape cases. We used it in burglary, in robbery cases. I've even used it in the private sector in a homicide investigation where the individual that was arrested for committing a murder claimed he didn't do it. Now, the reason why I use the view, because it's like a polygraph test. It's like a lie detector. Now, I did follow up with a lie detector test when I did this particular investigation, but I used the questionnaire first. And by utilizing that questionnaire, it gave that polygraph operator a chance to to review what I had, and it gave him a chance to ask different types of questions to that individual that had been arrested for homicide. And it works real well. The other one I use is statement analysis. And I learned that one, again, from the state police first, but I had a refresher course. I've had several of them, by the way, on statement analysis by going to these association seminars, and it really pays off. So if you want to build your business, you know, find your niche, find something that you really want to work in, and go and learn something at these seminars. They advertise exactly what they're going to have for subjects and the topics that they're going to talk about. And all the associations have these seminars, even the international ones. And so, you know, just pick the ones that you want to go to. They're all over the country. And it gives you a chance, again, to meet new people, meet other investigators, and it will give you ideas of what, you know, you might want to do in the future. You know, one thing, it's all about branding. Branding is everything. You use your company name, logo, business cards, your brochures, your letterheads, your services, your websites. It's all, you know, integrated, and it's focused on you, and that's your brand. Proper branding will give you credibility, motivate customers. These customers will become loyal, and they will always come back to you for when they need advice or they need some type of service. And I tell you, branding also helps separate you from your competition. You know, I've always said I've never worried about what my competition's doing because I have plenty of work. And I don't get caught up in what other people are doing. I really don't care. You know, another thing that you want to do is that you want to plan your work and you want to work your plan. And what we mean by that, methodically schedule your work. You know, I know that a lot of people know what this business does, what they're supposed to do, and what their task is at hand. However, you know, just the act of writing down your task and investigative work on a calendar will help you be more successful. And the reason why it will do that is because you'll never miss an appointment, whether that be that the claimant that you're working for an insurance company and the claimant has a medical appointment, you've got it written down somewhere, and so you know that you're going to have to take care of that. We utilize, you know, a board in the office, And we put up every case that we're working on that board. Now, don't get me wrong. I can't put up all the backgrounds I do because I do them daily. The background work, that's a different type of work that we do. But everything else, if we have surveillance work or if we have a termination to do or if we have to be at a certain place or if I have a hearing or anything, it's written down so I don't miss that or anybody else that's working a case in our agency doesn't miss it. And therefore, we're always on time and we're always where we're supposed to be. So write things down. Plan what you're doing. You want to focus on your target, you know, on your target market. Like I said, find a niche. And then when you find that niche, whatever the case may be for the niche, market it. For example, if you conduct domestic investigations and surveillance, make that your battlefield. Reach out to all the family law attorneys in your state. Focus on the types of clients that use your services that you want to provide. You know, some people love surveillance. Some people do not. If you don't like it, don't do it. You know, love what you do. And I particularly do love what I do. I really do. I enjoy my work. I get a lot of satisfaction out of it. And because of that, it shows in the results of what I'm doing. So you want to make sure that you really enjoy what you're doing. If you're passionate about something, go for it. I mean, just get in there and go for it. If you're passionate about something that you're not doing yet and you want to do it, then learn how to do it. Go to one of these seminars and get the proper training so that you can do that type of work. You know, you'll find that if you're happy doing what you're doing, you're going to be a lot more successful, and the results, the end results, is going to be, you know, very good for you, your client, and speaking of the client, that client's going to be very happy with the results. And they're going to come back and use you over and over again. You know,
which I have
and then,
to say, you are very gifted with having repeat business. And that's something I think you pride yourself on more than anything. I know that originally our relationship started out as a customer service-based relationship. And we became good friends. And now you're my mentor, teaching me how to do and be a effective, authentic private investigator. But in our last 5 minutes, why don't you talk about a little bit in regards to how you were able to build such a great rapport within the community?
Well, I think building the rapport is giving the clients what they want. I mean, most of my business has come from word of mouth. Which is the best advertisement that you could have. And the reason why is I take pride in what I do. Like I said before, you know, I look the part, I act the part, I am the part. You know, I'm the real deal. I don't pretend to be anything. I'm not. I don't know everything. I don't claim to know everything. But I can guarantee you, and I can guarantee our listeners, that if anyone ever has a question that I cannot answer, I will find the answer, and I will get you that answer. That's one thing I can promise you. Because, you know, information is very valuable. Information is the key to success. It really is. And the more you know, and like I said, you don't have to know everything, but as long as you know where to go to get the answers, you're golden. And never, You know, never be shy about asking a question to either one of your associates, another investigator that you may know, even if you don't know him. But if you know that he might have that answer, reach out to him. You know, we're all in this business to do one thing, and that is to help out clients, basically. All right? But we're also here to help each other, and we do help each other. There's plenty of work out there. There's enough work out there for everybody if you want to do it the right way. So, you know, don't ever be bashful. You know, reach out. Don't be afraid to reach out. Anybody can call me with any kind of question they want. You know, I'd be glad to help anybody out. And I think most people that know me, right, that's the reason why I have the reputation I have. And I earned that reputation through the years because I make myself available to people to help them. And that's very important. You know, I want to touch just one thing about the use of subcontractors. Your subcontractors sometimes can really ruin your business. If you're going to hire a subcontractor to help you because you don't have enough help in your business or your agency or whatever, you want to make sure that your subcontractor is going to work with you and not against you. And respect that individual, whoever you hire as a subcontractor. And if, you know, I charge $125 an hour. I pay my subcontractors $75 and up an hour to do work. I don't pay them $45, $35, you know, because I respect what they have to offer. I respect the work that they're doing. And in turn, when somebody subcontracts me to do a job for them, I give them, you know, a discounted rate. I don't charge them $125 because I know that they have to make money off of their client. But they do pay me at least $75 an hour. And that's because they respect what I can do for them. But I've had some horror stories of what subcontractors have done. I've even had a couple of subcontractors try to take clients away from me. And I'm here to tell you right now, when that happens, the client usually will come up to you and tell you that, because that's where I get the loyalty from my clients. I mean, I really have loyal clients. And I've brought in a lot.
This loyal client has to pull you back and reel you in and say, David, I love what you do and who you are, but we are running out of time. We have about 37. So wrap it up.
I'm here. Well, if you want to make money in 2015, change what you're doing. Change with the times. Get involved in these associations. Look the part. Be the part. And answer your phone. If you can't answer it, have your phone forwarded to your cell phone, anything that will get you in contact with that client. Don't think that they're going to call back, because in 99% of the time, they will not call back. There's a lot of things that can happen in 2015. There's a lot of things that's going to happen in 2015. And this industry is growing at a rapid rate. And there are many, many people who would like to get involved in our industry. If you're one of them,
All right. So we are about 27 seconds down. So I want to make sure that we say our goodnight. I'm working off the tablet again, and it's doing everything that I can to sabotage tonight. So 5 seconds.
All right, I want to thank everybody for listening, and stay tuned next week. We're going to have a good show. I'm putting that together. And I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but it's going to pretty much follow up on this. Stay safe, everyone, and take care of each other.
All right. From David and I, have a terrific week. We will talk to you next Monday, and you're listening to Ask a PI Radio. And, you know, would you hire you? That's a great concept for any position in any world, any country, any designation. So really think about who you are and what your integrity brings to the table, and would you rehire you? I think I'd hire me because I'm pretty funny, but David would definitely hire himself. We all know that. With much love and adoration, we'll talk to you Monday night.
You are listening to Ask a PI Talk Radio with hosts David Duchesneau, author, PI, former Marine, and former New Hampshire State Trooper, and Rusty McDonald, PI, author, motivational speaker, and international radio talk show host.